With us, please, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, the second book in the New Testament, Mark chapter 14, please. Mark chapter 14. I'll give you a moment to find your place there. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, we'll begin reading at verse 3. You follow along as I read aloud. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat," referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, "there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could." I appreciate that expression there in verse number 8. She hath done what she could. We should be doing what we could for the Lord. Amen. And sometimes we don't think we can do all that much for the Lord, but we can do what we should. Amen. And what we could. And that is enough, I believe, in the Lord's eyes. "For she hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." Verse 9 says, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." I'd like to call your attention to the last part of verse number 9 there this morning for the message, where the Bible says, "This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." There are several places in the Word of God where the word memorial is used. And since this is Memorial Day weekend and the observance of Memorial Day, I felt led to go to those references. And this is one that the Lord laid upon my heart. Along with a memorial, the word remember or remembrance is used several times in the Word of God as well, which is the thought behind observing Memorial Day, remembering those who have given their lives. And so Jesus says here about this woman that what she did here while she was living shall be spoken of her for a memorial for the rest of time. "This also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Now, a memorial is simply a special resignation or recognition given to an individual or a group of individuals because of a significant contribution that they have made, because of a cause that they have believed in and stood for over a period of time. This woman did something significant to the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ. She believed in what she was doing. And so she brought this very special ointment, spikenard of ointment, that was costly even in that day, and she anointed the Lord with it. And some of them that were present there did not understand what she was doing and thought, well, it could be used for a greater cause. I can't imagine that they would think that. But nonetheless, they thought, why not take that and sell it and use the money to give to the poor? And so they murmured against her. But Jesus stood up on her behalf and said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now, tomorrow is Memorial Day. We honor those that served our country in the military, as we have said here many times already this morning. They gave their life for a cause. When you add up all of the fatalities, all the casualties of war, going all the way back to the Civil War, more than 1 million men and women gave their lives for this country and the cause of freedom, that it might be preserved. And I'm interested in knowing how many in the congregation lost a family member as a result of them defending our country. Would you stand to your feet on their behalf for just a moment of time so that we can recognize you as well as them? Look at this. Look around you, folks. A family member, maybe a husband, maybe a wife in the nursing field, maybe a son or a daughter. All these folks here were willing to let their family member go and realize that they were doing something greater than even themselves. And we appreciate you folks for standing on their behalf. And sometimes we hear the expression, leaving a legacy behind, leaving something for others to remember us by. But I like to refer to it as living a legacy. Not so much as leaving a legacy. Yeah, obviously you have to live a legacy if you're going to leave it. But it all begins with living a legacy. And that's what this woman was interested in doing. While she was living, she was willing to do something significant for someone else, in this case, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said about that thing that it shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So we should learn something from this passage of Scripture this morning, and we should learn something in the observance of Memorial Day here as we come to it this weekend. We should remember those who were willing to make a sacrifice on behalf of others. And we should learn and appreciate the reason why they are willing to give their lives for such important causes. So I have some simple things that I want to suggest to us this morning here that hopefully will serve as a reminder to us in the days ahead. I think certainly we should remember the soldiers who have died for our freedom. I don't think we ought to take that for granted. Their effort, their willingness, their labor of love, literally, to go on our behalf, to represent us as ambassadors throughout all the world and die for our freedom if need be, is something that we should not take for granted. And I think we need a revival of patriotism in our country. I'm proud to display the American flag. I don't know about you, but to me it holds a special place in my heart. And if it's going to be burned, it ought to be burned properly. Amen. I mean, I know we're living in a free country, and that gives us freedom of expression, and that's one of the things that our soldiers have fought for. But to me, it's just good to see Old Glory out there, visible and present, and waving and representing our country. It was good to see on the news last night that even here in our city, they are in a park planting over 20,000 flags as a memorial to the fallen soldiers who have preserved our freedom for all these many years. In Arlington National Cemetery, where you saw on the video the tombstones and the soldiers doing different things. I understand that they plant a flag at every grave site, and they place a poppy on every grave as well as play taps. And with all the graves that fill Arlington National Cemetery, that takes quite a bit of time. But these that are present now are willing to do that for those who have gone before them. And Jesus said this about a soldier laying down his life so that we might have freedom. He said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Obviously, he was referring to himself in that message as well and what he was eventually going to do. But he was also speaking about mankind in general and how that we ought to be willing to give ourselves, to lay down our lives if necessary in order to prove that we are a friend to someone else. And so the American soldier is our friend. The American soldier is our ambassador. He represents our nation, and literally they have changed the course of our nation as we have progressed throughout history. As a result, we're able to enjoy freedoms that otherwise we would not be able to enjoy. I don't know if you appreciate that or not this morning, but I want you to try to get a hold of some of this. You see, we have, as a result of our American soldiers, we have the freedom to speak our mind. We have the freedom to say what we think. Now, a lot of times that'll get us in trouble. But nonetheless, we live in a country where we're able to express ourselves freely and to speak our minds. In some countries, the citizens do not have that privilege. It is not afforded to them where they can speak their mind freely without possibly jeopardizing their very life or being persecuted for it in some way. But the American soldier has fought for our freedom so that we can speak our mind and say what we want to say. We also can thank the American soldier because they have given us the freedom to vote for the leadership of this country. And friend, we're right here this coming November. We'll be doing that. But you see it taking place even in the primaries right now, and how important it is with the candidates that are running and the issues that are on the table and the impending, it looks like, economic recession. Some say even it may go so far as to be a depression. I don't know about all that, but we're in our country, there's a lot of things that the candidates need to be on top of, and they need to have a plan about. And so it's I think it behooves us to become familiar with each one of them and their agenda, and select the best candidate. I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. I don't want to ruffle any feathers here this morning and tell you what party I am or anything like that, or condemn you for what party you are. But I think that we ought to elect and select the best possible candidate to lead our country. And we can thank the American soldier for giving us that freedom to vote for them when it comes time. Thank God that we have men and women who will defend us so that we can be a democratic nation and we can have the opportunity to have a say in the election of our leaders. Some countries just appoint their leaders and it's a dictatorship, and the people have no say in that. Can you imagine living under that kind of rule? And sometimes I think because we're so far removed from places like that, that we don't think it still exists in this world. And while we've seen some of those dictatorships fall, there are still places where that is in place. And we can thank God that we have the freedom to vote for the leadership of this country. You say, well, I'll tell you the truth about it, preacher. There isn't any of them worth voting for this time around. Well, maybe we just got to vote for the lesser of the evils. Amen. I know this, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And it is God that appoints the officials. And if nothing else, it'll make us pray more about it. Amen? Well, it ought to. I mean, we ought to be concerned enough about it to say, Lord, you know that we're in such terrible shape that I don't know if we have a leader to get us through this particular time. But you're going to have to do a work in their heart and life and lead them on a daily basis to have faith in you. Thank God that we have the freedom to vote for the leadership of this country. And please, under God, do not stay home. Go to the poll and cast your vote. Make a difference. Sometimes you have to vote against someone in order, or vote for someone so that you're voting against the other candidate, just to make sure that they don't get in. And so that may be the case, but nonetheless, let's don't stay home when it comes time to vote for our leaders and our president in the upcoming election. And then we can thank our soldiers, I believe, for the freedom to pray and read our Bible anytime that we choose. I know we don't read it as often as we should and pray as often as we should. Lord knows that each one of us could do a lot better in that area. But aren't you glad, aren't you thankful that we have the freedom to do it anytime we desire to? I mean, we can go to the restaurant and we don't have to worry about whether or not somebody's going to come over from the management, or somebody's going to get up from across the way and say, hey, tell those people to quit praying, because we have the right to do that. Still, amen? I know they've taken it out of the public school system, and I know that Bible reading is no longer a practice in the daily school agenda, but still, we have the right to bow our heads and pray anytime and anywhere that we want to. And we can read our Bible in the same manner. We can thank the American soldier for preserving that freedom for us. I don't know, maybe we're so far removed from it that we don't remember that this nation was founded upon Christian principles and the very Word of God. That our forefathers framed the Constitution of the United States of America. You say, this sounds like a July 4th service. No, this is a memorial service, and we're remembering the American soldiers who have died to preserve our freedom, and our forefathers who were willing to frame our Constitution based upon the Word of God. They sat down with this blessed old book and said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. All right, we'll work hard to preserve that there is one God here, and we'll give people the freedom to worship him as they choose. I'm thankful for the American soldier that preserves that freedom for us, and the freedom to worship as we choose, the freedom to get up and go to the church of our choice. Now, I know that all churches aren't the same. They're not all created equal. Some of them have some strange doctrine about them, and some of them are about as far away from the truth as you can get. But I'm thankful that we have the freedom to search out a church of our choice, one that we believe is preaching and teaching the truth from God's Word, and one that we can go to anytime we want to. Here's the truth of the matter, folks. If we want to have church every day of the week, we have the freedom to do so. You say, oh, Lord, I hope it don't come to that. Used to be that way in our country. I mean, people would hold revival meetings and it just wouldn't be 3 days or 7 days. It would go on for weeks at a time. And the people would just get so caught up in the Spirit and caught up in what God was doing that they forgot all track of time, and they just went on as long as God was working. Why? Because of the freedom that we enjoy to worship anytime that we choose to. So we need to remember the sacrifice of our soldiers this morning who have gone before us so that we can enjoy these freedoms that we have. Someone said freedom is not free, and I believe that's right. You saw on the video slideshow a presentation of soldiers who, yes, carry machine guns and who, yes, are bloodied in battle and who, yes, have given their very life so that we might enjoy the freedoms that we presently have. Thank God, and may it be a true memorial day for us as we remember the soldiers who have died for our freedom. And then I think we need to remember the saints who have died for our faith. The saints who have died for our faith. Most don't realize that Christians literally fought and did so that we could have our faith. I mean, they contended earnestly for the faith that once was delivered to us. They were burned at the stake, literally. They were beheaded at a guillotine. They were fed to the lions in an arena where spectators watched and enjoyed the event. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Those that were even before the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ earnestly contended for the faith. It had not been delivered unto them yet, and yet they were willing to embrace it, and they were persuaded that it was the thing to do. And so they stood up in defense of our faith so that we might enjoy the freedom in Christianity that we have today. Had they not done that, there's no telling where we'd be. Had they not done that, I'm not sure there's many in this generation that would be willing to do that. You don't see many people standing up in defense of the faith and saying, if it means having my head cut off, if it means being burned at the stake, then I'm willing to do that. Most of the time, just the little slightest form of persecution comes, and we shy away, we back down, and we say, okay, if you're going to make that kind of fuss about it, then we just won't do that here. It's about time that we get some Christians who stand up like the old Christians of the past and say, we're here for the faith. We're here to contend earnestly for the faith that has been delivered unto us. Thank God for the saints who have died for our faith. I'm talking about Bible saints who were willing to go into the lion's den, who were willing to be put in prison, who were willing to suffer persecution like we haven't known it in this day and time. I'm talking about the Daniels. I'm talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine what it had been like? I'd like to have seen those folks in that day and time. You say, well, what are you picking all the men out for? Now, I'm talking about Ruth and Deborah and all the ladies in the Word of God, too, that were significant and who stood for the faith just as well. It would have been something to rub elbows with those folks, wouldn't it? I mean, and one day, praise God, we're going to get to do that when we get to heaven. One day we'll recognize them and we'll get to sit down and we'll get to enjoy their company. But I'm just thinking, what a privilege it would have been to see them in action as they lived out their faith before others. And then I'm talking about preachers of yesterday. I'm talking about the Jack Hiles. I'm talking about the Lee Robertsons. I'm talking about the preachers of yesterday that have gone on to glory, but they stood for the faith. They were willing to unashamedly stand up and preach, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm talking about the missionaries who have given their life for the cause of Christ on a foreign mission field, who were willing to, if necessary, be taken hostage by a tribal group and to be held a prisoner as a result of them being there and trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about those that are shot down out of the air in a small plane because it was mistaken for a drug plane and the warlords shot it down. I'm talking about men and women who would leave the comforts of their own home and go to a place where none of that is available just so that they could stand up for the faith of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about songwriters of the past. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been present in Fanny Crosby's day? One of the greatest songwriters that we know. Many of her songs are in our hymnal today. And what about John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I mean, to have been alive with them, to be present in their day, and to enjoy their inspiration as it came to them and was first given to the rest of mankind. I'm talking about modern day Christians of our church, possibly, and Christians that we're related to, not just spiritually, but physically as well. And now they're home in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. All those that have died in the faith. I don't know if you realize it or not, but this building sits here as a result of former Christians who are willing to invest blood, sweat, and tears and stay faithful to the Lord here at Victory Baptist Church and help pay the bills, help present the tithe unto the Lord so that great works for God could be done. And they're no longer with us. I'm thinking about Brother Bean. I'm thinking about Brother George Skaggs. I'm thinking about, and I'll leave somebody out, I know, Brother Homer Anderson. I'm thinking about Miss Ashley, who we heard a testimony just a few weeks ago about how she was one of the first givers to this building and to this work so that we could sit here and enjoy all of this today. We ought to remember the saints who have gone on before us and who defended the faith so that we can have the freedom to worship as we do today. And then those who lived out their faith so that we could follow their example. I'm talking about those who are no longer with us, but by a life of consistency, by a life of faithfulness, they showed us what it is to be a Christian in this day and time. Thank God for the example that they were to us. And then I want to say, not only should we remember the soldiers who died for our freedom and the saints who died for our faith, but I think most importantly, we should remember the Savior who died for our forgiveness. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one who is found in this passage of Scripture and is having this beautiful act of sacrifice performed from this woman. The Savior who died for our forgiveness. In this passage, Jesus refers to the fact that He came to forgive us. In verse number 8, it says, "She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." To anoint my body to the burying. What He was referring to there was the time when He would go to the cross, when He would be crucified in a cruel manner, and when He would be buried, placed in a borrowed tomb, and then He would miraculously raise from the grave 3 days later. He's talking about the gospel here, and He says in verse number 9, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world." What Christians are supposed to be doing, what this preacher is attempting to do this morning, is to preach the gospel throughout the whole world, or at least here in Louisville, Kentucky, amen? No, the whole world. We're on the World Wide Web now, in case you didn't know that. You can find us there at www.victorybaptistlouisville.org.
And we'll be glad to give you that later. And the services are being recorded. And the messages that are preached from the pulpit here are recorded as well. And they're being sent out literally worldwide. Wow, that's scary, isn't it? That's amazing that we have advanced so far in technology that we're able to do that now with just a very little effort. Praise God for the opportunity to preach the gospel throughout the whole world. And we ought to remember that we have the opportunity to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, who died for our forgiveness. As a child of God, we've been commissioned and given the responsibility to carry the gospel throughout the whole world, whether it's through supporting missionaries, whether it's through surrendering to the call to preach full time, or whether it's being a Christian and just being a faithful witness day in and day out wherever we go. We have the opportunity to represent as an ambassador the Savior who died for our forgiveness. And friend, we ought not to forget Him. We ought not to let Him lapse from our memory. He ought to be ever present because He is the one who was willing to die so that we might have our sins forgiven. The very reason that He came to this earth was to save old sinners. The very reason that He left heaven and all of its glory was to go to that cross at Calvary and suffer that cruel death so that we might be restored in our relationship to God the Father. Sin broke that fellowship, and sin entered into the world through one man, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, the Bible says. So we all stand in need of a Savior, and we all stand in need of forgiveness from that Savior. He did many wonderful things while He was here. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He fed the 5,000 on the hillside there with very little. He did many wonderful things while He was here, but the greatest thing that He did, the most wonderful thing that He did, was to fulfill His purpose to redeem us from the curse of the law, from the curse of sin. The Bible says that when He entered into this world, when He left heaven to come here, that He came through a virgin womb, and specific instructions were given that His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Praise God. A Savior who died for our forgiveness. You say, why did He have to die? Why couldn't He just forgive us from heaven? It was necessary that sin be punished. There was a penalty that had to be paid, a judgment that had to be exacted. And thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, was willing to do that for you and I. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All praise God that He was willing to come and die so that we might be forgiven. Yes, His heart was broken, but ours was mended through His blood. Yes, He became sin, but now we're clean through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The cross He carried bore my burden. It wasn't His sin that He was paying for. It was our sin. The nails that held Him there set us free. His life for mine. How could it be that He would die so that we might have eternal life? Jesus said about this woman here in this text, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." I have a question for you to consider this morning. Are you thankful for several questions? Are you thankful for the soldiers that have died for our freedom? Amen. Are you thankful for the saints who have died for the faith that we now enjoy? Aren't you thankful for the Savior who died for our forgiveness? Let me ask you to consider one more question. Have you done anything like this woman in the Scriptures for Jesus that could be spoken of for a memorial unto you? Have you done what you could? You say, what do you mean, preacher? Have you been saved? Have you turned to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sin? Have you called upon Him and asked Him to come into your heart and life? Have you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior? If so, have you followed the Lord in baptism? Have you stood up openly and unashamedly for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living for Him in this present day and time? I know it's difficult to stand up for Christ, to do things for Him in this day and time, but it's worth it, friend. It's worth it. Every investment that we make, I believe, when eventually we're gone, will be a legacy that someone can look back on and say they lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be in the business of erecting memorials ourselves, not for the glory that we can get from men, but so that we can hear when we cross over on life's other side, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we will be an inspiration to others, just like many before us have been an inspiration. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.